fighting for America.
These are people that are here illegally, get caught, get convicted, and you release back out in the public. And the president promised the American people he would deport them, and he's not.
Fighting for Idaho.
A man came to the house as she was leaving Saturday night asking about the wooden pallets that Akri and Evans sold. Police say when she got back home, Evans had been shot to death.
Fighting for you.
You're walking around with high heels on the size 14 and a big Adam's apple. Come on, people are going to look at you weird. You could go out the door dressed a little more normal so you don't attract all that attention, but clearly you want to.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. You can always follow the show at Kevin Miller Show. That's at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter. And for great blogs, the podcast, 580KIDO.com. Joining us now is the chairman of the State Republican Party and international man of mystery, Steve Yates, joining us. Mr. Yates, Chairman Yates, good morning.
Kevin, great to be with you.
Before we get to, you know, one of your many areas of expertise, the international situation, ISIS, ISIL, Iran, let's talk a little bit about politics. We never really get a chance to, you know, go inside anymore. Everybody, you know, kind of glazes over everything. So as we take a look at the 2016 field, what do you think of the potential GOP candidates as far as who's the front runner and the money primary that's going on right now?
Well, I think in terms of early fundraising, it's very clear that you have a couple of candidates a little farther out in front. And of course, former Governor Jeb Bush is in the news, making pretty serious headway on fundraising. Governor Scott Walker has been coming along, and Senator Rand Paul, I think, is in a pretty healthy position financially. And in some ways, those are kind of three of the competing flavors of candidates. Of course, there are other candidates, and as chairman, I am not trying to include or exclude anyone from the list, but I think in the early readings, that's where things stand at the moment.
Now, if you're Scott Walker, who appears to be the flavor of the month, if you will, right now, what are your thoughts on his chances? And obviously, you know, setting up this political machine, it's a learning curve that goes on in these national races.
It is a learning curve, and I don't think anyone would say that running for president is easy. The elevator goes down far more quickly than it goes up. And on any given day, of course, the unexpected can happen. So we're very, very early in the process. We've been through presidential election cycles where we've had someone emerge in the polls early or someone who was thought to be a sure thing. I'll never forget in my lifetime the 1992 cycle when it was presumed that President Bush would win on the Republican side, and it was sort of presumed that Mario Cuomo was going to be the nominee and maybe be the sure thing on the Democrat side. And, of course, the election went dramatically differently. So I don't really take early reads as any givens, but the governor of Wisconsin is in a good position right now, and I think a lot of the country is appreciating a chance to get to know him.
Does money equal success?
Well, it is the oxygen that makes things work. You can't win without it. But it isn't the only thing. I think it's also important that you have a message, that you have a narrative of where you're coming from and why the country needs more of it. And so we have candidates who have messages in that regard. And, of course, if people are thinking about Wisconsin, there's been, you know, several elections in recent years where the unions and national Democrats have really gone for Governor Walker's hide, and he hasn't really bent what he believed in. He, in Obama parlance, doubled down and beat them.
Steve Yates with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580KIDO, the chairman of the State Republican Party. Okay, let's go to I was going to say President Bush, but President Bush's brother and President Bush's son, the former governor of Florida, Jeb. He says he's different. You have a lot of critics that have issues with him with Common Core, with the stance on the illegals. But, you know, then you have the old adage, well, do you want to win or not?
Yes, there's a lot of talk along those lines, and of course, when Jeb Bush was governor of Florida, he was well known as a conservative. And some of us thought that if Jeb had won in 94 against Lawton Childs, he might have been the Bush that ran and was our nominee in the 2000 cycle. His star certainly was on the rise in the 90s. It's been some time since people focused on his tenure as governor. In more recent years, he has been a national spokesman in favor of Common Core and also for immigration reform that critics will call amnesty, and that remains a part of the discourse and the debate. He stands for more than that, and I think that there are a lot of people who are in the field of early interested voters are interested in hearing what more he has to say. But I think it's also fair to say that a majority of Republican primary voters, especially grassroots voters, aren't too thrilled about those two major national issues and where the governor stands.
Although he has sewn up a lot of the establishment money.
A lot of money and a lot of the Wall Street support. He seems to have sucked the oxygen out of Chris Christie's base. And so he's going to be able to go long in this contest, but so will a few other candidates. Frankly, I'm excited to see the competition. I think that's what's healthy on our side. We have choices. We have contrasts. And if they conduct it in the right way, I think the Republican Party is stronger and the candidate comes out stronger. It just remains to be seen how it folds out.
It is a challenge, though, when you consider the endless primary where Mitt Romney did finally link the nomination. Then he ran out of money. That is a concern. And considering it's been 8 years since a Republican's been in the White House, the time is now more than ever.
The time is now more than ever. I think that there are three major reasons why the country really can't afford another Democrat term in the White House. One is the national debt that is spiraling out of control. The other is the Supreme Court, which already is in a position, even with 5-4 decisions, that is not necessarily where I would feel comfortable with it being. And then the third is growing uncertainty and danger in the world, and we need a commander-in-chief that seriously engages it, and the country needs to be led in a conversation about how to address that in a new way. And so I agree the time is now. And the candidates and the campaigns and their supporters are going to have to choose how they go after this contest. There were some tactics used in the 2012 cycle that I don't think helped everybody as they went through the beauty pageant. And there are probably some choices made by candidate Mitt Romney that that affected his fate as much as the primary did.
580KIDO, Steve Yates with us. What about Rand Paul?
Well, Rand Paul is one of the candidates that very early has a very organized base of support in many states. And so he has some advantages. He certainly will go long in the cycle, I believe. And it's really kind of a question of how he brands himself through this effort. It's often said that he is not his father, but many of his supporters did support his father. And, you know, it's up to him to go through the contest and say who he is, what his brand of leadership is that he has on offer. He's certainly going to be one of the top five or so candidates, I think, on the podium going through these debates that the RNC will sponsor.
He's got an interesting dynamic, though, because of his own brand and his father's brand. He wants to keep the Ron Paulites, if you will, but he's a little different duck, just like his father.
Yeah, he is different. He's made some choices that in some ways might make him more appealing to other voters. Say, for instance, his open endorsement of Mitch McConnell, arguably saving Senator McConnell from a tougher primary. Then his occasional policy stands where he is very much in tune with his father's views. And of course, if this becomes a campaign where national security plays a high-profile role, he has an advantage in the sense that he can carve out a contrasting view, but it may be a disadvantage if it's not where the majority of the Republican Party is. That's what this campaign is going to have to test.
Anyone else that may come to the forefront, if you will? I know it's very early, but we're always dying to talk about it. As soon as the midterms happen, it's, you know, on to speculation about 2016, at least on the Republican side.
Well, I agree, and I think it's actually important, so worthy of discussion. I think there are several who have potential. Marco Rubio is someone who has expressed interest. I think there's a strong inclination on his part to run this cycle, but it's a decision that until it's official, it's not official, but He has a lot of potential upside in many people's eyes. He has tackled the immigration reform issue, which creates interest but also controversy. But I just think that as a Republican rising talent, he's someone that people are going to give a good look at. Senator Cruz is in the race. Again, not official until it's official, but he's someone that I think a lot of Republicans are interested in. He does things his way, which increases his appeal to a lot of conservatives who are frustrated with the status quo. He needs to prove that he's going to be able to govern. These senators are at a disadvantage in a sense that it's easier for a chief executive to say that he is ready to jump into the hardest chief executive position in the world. There'll be others. I don't mean to leave others from the list. The Governor Perry of Texas is likely to be involved. There may be late people declaring, in the sense that, like a Mike Pence of Indiana, who hasn't of late sent any strong signals that he'll be in, but there may be time. And I'm sure that I'm overlooking a senator or two that is probably going to have a toe in the water, but these are the people that are on the headlines today.
At 580KIDO, we forgot about the coronation, although she's been in trouble the past few weeks, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and I, you know, have long had my doubts about whether she really is in it to win it, just in the sense that, and in recent weeks, I think that the strongest campaign against Hillary Clinton has been conducted by Hillary Clinton. It's a very odd press conference where she basically told everybody it's really none of your business what were in the emails that I decided or my staff decided were not to be turned over. And having served in the White House and worked with people with security clearances at high levels of government, it is baffling to me that she could put forward this notion of it was inconvenient to carry an extra device. You know, there are people who are at the side of a cabinet official and a top-level security official everywhere they go. And even out of government, Hillary has her people. I'm sure they could have carried an extra phone for security purposes.
It is strange, though. Is it deja vu for you where you have the same group of usual suspects, Lanny, Jimmy, Paulie, no, not cast members of The Sopranos, but the inner circle spinning the vast right-wing conspiracy, Hillary is a victim, she can't get a break gig?
Yeah, it's deja vu and not in a good way, and I don't really think it helps Hillary. There's some elements of the 90s people would like to go back to, but that was 20 years ago. And there were a lot of ingredients in that secret sauce, some of which might have been the Republican Congress at the time, under very different leadership than we have today. And so having those folks on with their colorful explanations of things, I don't really think helps very much. But I do think that the bad blood between the Obamas and the Clintons is real. It's playing out. And this notion that Valerie Jarrett may have been involved in pushing the story about Hillary's emails just adds to that melodrama. Frankly, I don't shed a tear for the Democrats having a problem in this regard, but it's really hard to see who would emerge from their pack. You've got the former governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley, who may compete, former senator from Virginia, Jim Webb, may compete, and then there's always Elizabeth Warren, who may be drafted to come in and show that there is an Obama far leftist ready to run again. But that's basically what the Democrats have going for them right now. I'm happier in the Republican contest.
More coming up with Chairman Yates, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KI.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with the chairman of the state GOP, Steve Yates. Chairman Yates, the legislature still going on. How is the state Republican Party? You came in at a contentious time. You've traveled the state. I'm sure there are maybe a couple more Lincoln Day dinners to go to. It seems like they're endless. What's the mood?
Well, I think that the party is focused on what's happening in the legislature. There are a lot of members of the party who have interest in particular pieces of legislation with regard to education and Common Core, Also, we have legislation moving forward that will affect our early presidential selection process, whether we have a caucus or a primary, and the legislature is prepared to vote on that. And, of course, there are issues that relate to taxation. We had a resolution in our winter meeting that supported an effort to repeal the grocery tax. And so people have watched with interest, but we travel the Lincoln days, and we do have many of them, but it's good for us to travel around the state with some of our elected officials to hear what party members have to say. It's one of the things I really like about Idaho is that you have access to your elected leaders if you choose to have that access. And the Lincoln days help that, but in general, we have that access. The mood is, I think, somewhat upbeat. There's a tone of frustration, which I think is entirely understandable with regard to national politics. Even though we fought hard and we're celebrating Republican majority in the Senate, it's still frustrating that Harry Reid seems able to throw a wrench in the works, and that with President Obama demagoguing and threatening vetoes, it's not quite where we need things to be. We're going to need a Republican president. We're going to need leadership in the House and the Senate that pushes our issues. Frankly, I think that the base of the party wants our senators and our congressmen to pass the legislation they believe in and just make Obama have to veto it over and over and put the Democrats on record of where they stand, but show the country where the Republican Party stands.
Well, we
get a lot of that.
Chairman Yates, we saw that strategy exercised by the Democrats effectively against President Bush in 92. It seems, whether it's here at 580KIDO or when you're talking to your friends on Fox or other stations across the country, people keep wondering when the GOP Congress will have the same fortitude as their counterparts in the Democratic caucus.
Well, I agree, and I think that is the direction they need to go. I know from the Lincoln Day talks that we've had Senator Crapo at a number of them, he agrees with moving in that direction, and I think we should support him in trying to get his colleagues, especially the Senate leadership, to agree with taking that tack. It has proven effective in the past, and it does do what we have the power to do. We don't have the power to make the president move a particular way. We don't have the power to make the Democrats vote to override a veto, but we do have the power of controlling the floor and putting issues up there and voting in our numbers and just moving where we can. So I support what Senator Crapo is trying to do and getting his colleagues to move in that direction. I think it's the right way to go.
And what about the House? What do you think of our two congressmen in the House? How are they? They're, you know, they seem to be very effective, yet in two entirely different camps.
Well, they're two peas in a pod in the sense they're both from Idaho. But other than that, we have representation of differing schools of thought about how to influence the process in Washington. I think that the Idaho delegation does a good job of pushing where people in our state are coming from. When it comes to process on the inside, you know, I have to keep in my position as state party chair. I don't run the Congress and I don't run our congressmen, but I am the conveyor of some of the things we hear from party members. And really, when it comes to process in the House has been able to pass a lot of bills. It really seems to get complicated in the Senate and between the Senate and the White House. So regardless of how Mike Simpson and Raul Labrador might be differing political figures, the roadblock for us really is Pennsylvania Avenue and the distance between the White House and the Senate.
Chairman Yates, how do you see the last, well, less than 2 years now of this administration? Are we going to see more executive action, more court fights? I'm not going to lead the witness.
Well, I think that there is going to be activism. I think the president meant it when he said he had his pen and his phone, and he's already, I think, gone beyond the line with regard to executive action. And I don't expect him to stop. He has shown no inclinations of what we would have seen in the 90s with President Clinton basically co-opting the Republican agenda to the extent he wanted to get some successes. President Obama seems to be going down the final quarter of in his game here defiantly. And I don't think it's going to be good for us. I think that there are a lot of issues at stake that matter to our country. I really think that the national security challenges we face are real. I think that the budget crisis that we are in is real. I just think that it's a really tenuous time. I wish that we could fast forward and get this done and move to new leadership. But the Constitution says we're going to go through this for a little while longer.
Well, it is interesting if there are, the reports are true that you mentioned earlier concerning Valerie Jarrett feeding the press some negativity about the Clintons. And you just have to wonder the star-crossed relationship between the two camps and, you know, what this means for 2016, what it really means for now.
Well, I think that, you know, just strategically for Republicans, they can't count on the Democrats being divided. We have to have our candidates run campaigns to win and assume stiff competition, because we know that a preponderance of the mainstream media will be a boost. But to the extent that there is an Obama faction and a Clinton faction in the Democratic Party, and they're at cross purposes and they're tearing each other apart, that does give our candidates a chance to get their season of competition under their belts and maybe unify the party for a strong stand.
More coming up with the chairman. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Chairman Steve Yates with us, Idaho State Republican Party Chairman at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Now, I love asking you this because you're a master of the multitask. You've got your business. You've got your volunteer job as chairman of the state GOP. You have your family, which is your first priority. How do you, and then your multitude of media appearances, how do you manage it all?
Well, I don't think it's very easy to do, but here in Idaho, it's a little bit easier in that my commute from my home to my office is less than a mile, and we had a television studio built next to my office. And so switching hats and switching roles in some ways is just moving around an easy-to-commute in town like Idaho Falls. The volunteer work for the party, I enjoy a great deal. It doesn't always bring me accolades and warm wishes, but I get a lot of positive feedback from people, and I really do like visiting the different parts of the state and learning about some of the – we have a very diverse state. We have a very large state. Like my Jeep can attest to the distances. But it has its own reward, just in the sense of people really caring about the direction of our state and our country, and I like engaging in those conversations. So I just take one foot and put it in front of the other and keep going for the next thing that's on the list of do-dos.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your past. You worked in the White House at the highest levels for people that aren't familiar with what you did and what you do now.
I did work as a deputy assistant in the White House for Vice President Cheney. For those who don't know, which should be everybody because it doesn't matter that much, you basically have assistants to the president, which were like the Karl Roves and the top-tier advisors, and then the deputy assistants are not kind of number twos, and then you have the National Security Council staff and special assistants and things like that. So at a relatively early age, I did have an opportunity to have somewhat of a front-row seat to the president's decision-making process and some of the tough issues they wrestled with, and something I'll never forget and something I'm grateful to have.
Well, based on that experience, we take a look at this deal with the Iranians. John Kerry's mad. Everybody's mad. The Senate's mad. What type of message are we sending to folks around the world, particularly in the Middle East?
Well, I don't think we have an effective message or policy at all at the moment. The latest controversy was a letter that Senator Cotton had spearheaded to send a letter to the leader of Iran, just telling him what I think the Iranian leaders already knew, that the Senate is not the same as the White House and that there's going to be an election in 2016, and there's no guarantee that the next president will carry forth on what's negotiated now. I think, just from my own point of view, much of the purpose of that letter could have been accomplished by something other than sending a letter to an Ayatollah. That made me uncomfortable. But I think it's perfectly legitimate for members of Congress, even if it came down on a partisan line, to have a resolution, issue a press release. But I would have rather they sent a letter of support to an ally and conveyed that public message by bolstering that ally. But that's tactics. On substance, the policy is going in a very bad place, and Secretary Kerry can whine all he wants about people not having confidence in his negotiating abilities, but tell me where the string of successes are in his personal past or in this administration's past to lead people to think this is going to go well. We have Libya, Syria, and a host of other things, including ISIS, that would make you wonder whether this administration has the fortitude to deal with a country committed to the world's worst weapons and remains a state sponsor of terror and remains a destabilizer of its neighbors.
Well, it seems that the Middle East continues to get worse.
It does. And it's not necessarily our job to straighten all of its business out, but our interests do get affected when the destabilization there affects not just markets, but also movement of people, and especially the export of terrorism. And so I do think that we have a national interest in trying to fortify allies and pushing back against the more extreme forces. That, I think, has to be a part of what this primary contest is going to have to focus on the Democrat and Republican side, because the current administration is not offering that leadership. The Senate and House, under the Constitution, have a role in this discussion, but that's not where foreign policy is driven. So we really do need this national discourse that the campaign hopefully will provide.
Well, I think the other challenge is you have allies like Egypt and Jordan saying, hey, we'd love to do more, but we need some help as far as materials.
They need help with materials, but it also matters a great deal whether the United States has a clear purpose and objective and whether it's involved. And so their choices are dramatically different if it's going it alone with opposition from the United States, neutrality from the United States, or help from the United States. And so they are in the process of coming to the conclusion that for the time being they're on their own, and they would like the support. It hasn't really been forthcoming in the way they would like from the administration, and it's hard here in the United States to even have that debate because we don't have the administration respectfully and substantively engaged with the Congress on whether to provide military or other material assistance to our allies.
Chairman Stephen Yates with us here at 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. What's going on inside the mind of ISIS with these videos and such, and you know their propaganda? They continue to recruit people through social media. It's unheard of why anybody in the West or anywhere for that matter would want to live that life, but they seem to be effective.
Well, it certainly doesn't reach people like you or me, but it is very, very dangerous. We do have disaffected people that we've seen across Europe and in the United States who have been willing to attempt to go to Syria to join up, and some who've actually gone. And we do have people in our country that by way of YouTube have been radicalized, and we have communities in our country where there is a cloak of being a moderate, but inside of that, there's a track record of people who grow up and then will go to a place like Yemen to be trained, which is decidedly not a moderate behavior. And so I think that what's going on in the minds of these folks, maybe one element of despair that leads people to go down that path in life. But I think there's something more broken than just economic fundamentals. I don't believe in this idea that people who don't have job opportunities and social welfare are the ones that are being recruited. We've had some extremely well-educated and well-to-do lethal terrorists. So I think there's something wrong with the culture of the people who are getting radicalized. And I don't think that we've got the tools with which to deal with it very effectively right now. It's a tough debate in our own country where we value religious freedom, and we value civil liberties, and we value individualism in a lot of ways. And with that comes some risk of these people existing among us and radicalized.
What's the consequences of no harm, no foul? We just let them hang out in the Middle East. Will they ever come over here?
Well, they have. And 9/11 was a part of that. And there have been other attempts to come over here. And they say they intend to do so. That may be bluster, but they may mean what they say. I think that there's a serious risk of not having some kind of a more meaningful containment strategy in place if we really mean to keep them from coming to our shores. But if you can't name the enemy and you can't define that its ideology is part of the problem, how are you ever going to build the tools to keep it overseas, much less deal with it in your own borders? I think that's a real problem. And it's impossible to be protected against its vulnerability if you aren't serious about border security and keeping illegal immigration under control.
Well, and that's the issue indeed. The administration continues to try and have this outreach with the Iranians, but as you know, and you've worked at the highest levels, they sponsor state-sanctioned terror, Hamas, Hezbollah, never mind their nuclear program. It just seems as if the president, and we talk about this at 580KIDO, is resume building at the expense of, well, a peaceful nation.
I believe that to be the case. And it's not just make-believe in thinking of the linkages between these issues. It was only a few years ago where we had reports of an Iranian assassin squad working with the cartels in Mexico to get across the border to come to our capital to conduct an assassination on the Saudi ambassador, but also potentially U.S. senators. And so this is not something that's just a wild dream. This is something where there have been operational plans by state sponsors of terrorism to take advantage of a porous border to attack us on the homeland.
More coming up with Stephen Yates next at 580KIDO. Time for traffic.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, the chairman of the State Republican Party, Steve Yates, with us. We've been talking about ISIS, and we've heard the announcement earlier that we're scaling back more and more of our troops in Afghanistan. Iraq seems to be going back and forth. What will be the legacy of our involvement in Afghanistan?
Well, I think that drama is going to play out for many more years. I think that the idea of going in and toppling the Taliban and giving the Afghan people a chance at a more meaningful and less violent self-government, I think, was a worthy objective. I think that the administration's precipitous withdrawal from Iraq and somewhat similar model in Afghanistan, it may be a legacy where the radicals go back, where organization reoccurs. They've just been waiting out, and that the unfortunate the drama we've seen in Iraq is coming to Afghanistan soon. But certainly this is a mixed legacy of two very different presidents who had two very different strategies. And on the one hand, we had President Bush come in with a scourge plan in both areas after some initial military success and then long-term insurgencies. And we had President Obama undo those surges and unwind those wars in his own lingo. And we are both unsettled territories and unstable territories.
Well, I you think of all that was promised, all that was lost, whether we're talking lives or treasure, and you know, we spent a lot of money on the infrastructure at the expense of our own infrastructure here. And you wonder, you know, once the special operators leave and everything else, you know, as you've just pointed out, are we going to see Iraq one more time, the sequel in Afghanistan? And, you know, they don't call it the graveyard of empires for nothing.
Afghanistan, very, very difficult, no matter what. That's absolutely true. Under the best of circumstances, it doesn't have a base for a normal economy, and it's a tough, tough terrain. Iraq has much greater potential to be a normal nation, just in a very, very volatile, dangerous part of the world. And so I think that this narrative has chapters yet to be written where the outcome could be seen differently. and especially with different leadership in the United States, and a region that maybe is getting awakened to their need to take on greater dangers on their own. We could see the balance of power in the Middle East be different. But if Iran gets a nuclear weapon and these other two countries are allowed to founder, the Middle East looks very, very different. It looks worse than it did at the beginning of the Bush administration.
Finally, what about the Saudis? We never get a chance to discuss our relationship with Saudi.
Well, it's mostly transactional relationship as I see it, in that we don't have overlapping core values, but we do have some mutual enemies. And to the extent that the Saudis get into the fight to meaningfully degrade extremists in the region, extremists on their own peninsula, I think that is a positive contribution from an ally. But we will not forget what country the 9/11 suicide attackers came from, and we will not forget the country that Osama bin Laden came from. And there's very real dangers there that they need to really be with us or they're against us.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You have a good day. And Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. As always, we really appreciate it. We'd love to stick around, so tell a friend. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith, everyone.